case number 10-7026. Nicholas Galletta, appellant versus Adrian Fenty, mayor, District of Columbia, Department of Mental Health. Ms. Reno for appellant, Ms. Anderson for appellees.
May it please the court, Alan Reno.
Please hold until the courtroom's quiet. Oh,
sorry.
No.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Ellen Reno for the plaintiff appellant, Dr. Nicholas Galletta. In 2004, Dr. Galletta was working successfully to improve an inefficiency in the D.C. government. Leading the D.C. SINGS project, he had successfully worked across different agencies in the D.C. government to coordinate care for children with mental health needs. The project was given an award. He was rated as excellent. By all accounts, his project was a success. Then he told the truth in an EEO investigation, and the D.C. government no longer cared about the efficiency of his project. Instead, his third-level supervisor wanted to fire him. And she said to another supervisor, "Don't you know what he's done?"
She didn't say what it was that he had done that set her off.
No, but that would be for a jury to decide. It was shortly after.
Well, you need some evidence of some reason to think there's a causal connection here, right? 5 or 6 weeks later, she says, "Don't you know what he's done?" And we never find out.
It's actually less than 5 or 6.
January 12th till mid-February, I think.
Right. Well, we don't know if it's mid-February because the testimony is that it's sometime in February. So it could be.
Actually, I thought it was late. The testimony was late, but there was some ambiguity. But all right, so say it's a month.
Well, I mean, what else has he done? She says, "Well, I know what the quality of his work is."
One of the things he did was provoke a bit of a ruckus in this meeting. I mean, she may have seen it that way, anyway.
Well, that's part of his EEO involvement, in that he was standing up for a woman that he felt was being discriminated against. These are issues for a jury to decide.
At the meeting, he has a rather provocative challenge to the woman, who then gets so upset, out of control.
Yes, that's right, Your Honor. That is one of the things he did. And a jury can look at the evidence and find that, you know, the supervisor was just upset that he was arguing with somebody else at this meeting. But the jury can also find that it was his protected activity, especially.
What was the ill consequence for him?
The ill consequence was that he went from overseeing 20 employees.
Okay, what's the record evidence that he oversaw 20 employees?
His position description.
That's evidence that's in the authorized in the position description. I couldn't find anything to say or any claim by him in his deposition that he oversaw anybody.
And when he was head of DC SINGS, he was.
And his account of what he did didn't require that he oversee anybody. He may have entailed that, but he never. There's no evidence of
it. Well, Your Honor, there's a position description that said he oversaw 20 people. They haven't put on any evidence. They haven't even disputed it.
In the position to which he was transferred, first for 120 days and then permanently, there was also.
No, the D.C. SINGS position description says that he supervised 20
that.
People.
And then there's another position to which he was transferred.
Right.
And there was a discrepancy there between the nature of the position and the level of the work.
Right. Well, there's a dispute on that.
So these position descriptions are not descriptions of what is going on. They are descriptions of what is authorized or expected or went on with the previous incumbent.
At summary judgment, you don't get to decide which evidence you're going to credit and which you're not.
Is there any evidence?
There is. There's a position description that says he supervised 20 people.
No.
They didn't dispute it.
The position entails that. Or is authorized.
They haven't even disputed.
Not testimony about what he did. And there's a surprising lack in his own testimony about that.
Your Honor, that was based on the questions that he was asked at deposition. He described what he did. It necessarily entails him supervising people.
He also was just asked to describe it, how this affected him. You know, what were the consequences of the change? And he doesn't say anything about supervision.
He does. He says he lost all supervisory duties.
Where is that? And does he say he ever supervised anybody?
Your Honor, the district isn't even disputing this point. The district did not dispute this point at summary judgment, and therefore the record is not developed. I don't think it would be fair for
The district court went off on lack of harm, so I'm looking for some harm.
The harm is that he lost all supervisory duties, and the district court finds that he did have supervisory duties, but then disregards evidence, testimony by Susan Kern and the plaintiff himself, that he no longer had supervisory duties. The district court never questioned whether he had supervisory duties as the D.C. Sings director.
What's the difference between supervisory and managerial responsibility?
Well, I suppose you could manage a program without actually supervising the employees who are working. Maybe there's not even employees. You're just managing a program with no subordinates. You're making sure the program runs. I suppose it's possible.
That's they're very peculiar. Got to manage something.
No, you can manage a program.
Well, program is a bunch of people.
Not necessarily.
Well, what is it?
It could be outside entities. I don't know. He didn't have any supervisory responsibilities once he was transferred, and the district court, that was the evidence that the district court looked at and weighed, which is improper at summary judgment, and said that Susan Curran and Dr. Gilletta were just conclusory in their testimony that he had no supervisory duties. I don't know how you could be conclusory about a statement of fact, something in their personal experience. He had no supervisory duties. There's really no more to say about that, the fact that he had no supervisory duties. It can't be conclusory, and that point has to be reversed.
Did you say, I'm not sure you did, but did you say that the district court made a finding that he did supervise?
The district court accepted.
Just didn't object to it. Didn't
accepted that evidence.
All right, here's what he said. Gilletta has produced just the conclusory statements found in his own and Curran's declarations that he went from supervising 20 employees to none. Okay.
Right.
All right, go on, please.
And so the testimony cannot be conclusory because it is a statement of fact. He had no supervisory duties, and there's not much more you can say about that. And if in fact he had supervisory duties, it would have been very simple for the District of Columbia to point to somebody that he supervised during those 3 years following his reassignment. Anyway, it's for a jury to decide whether they think Susan Curran and Dr. Gilletta are telling the truth about his responsibilities after his transfer, or whether the document itself is accurate. The evidence is in dispute about whether he lost supervisory duties. And this circuit has consistently held that withdrawal or removal of supervisory duties is sufficient to go to a jury on the question of an adverse employment action. In Stewart versus Ashcroft, Chikulski versus Peters, and Burke versus Gould, that is what was said. Now, he went from managing a system of care across agencies, winning an award for that, to make work. He was sent out to the Oak Hill Detention Center, then he went to the Office of Accountability, where he was basically reviewing a complaints database and looking at applications for treatment facilities. This is a far cry from what he was doing as project director of DC Sings. Therefore, there is sufficient evidence to find an adverse employment action. There's also strong evidence of pretext. The district has articulated different reasons at different times, all of which are unbelievable. When Ms. Thomas first told him to look around, she told him it was not because of performance and that he should just make up a reason to tell people. She doesn't say anything about a site visit report. Then in the answers to interrogatories in 2007, they say it was because the project was dismantled. But the project wasn't dismantled for another year. So which reason makes sense? They also don't, again, in their answers to interrogatories, say
the central point was the government's claim that there was a new direction for the program.
That's kind of vague. That is.
And he seemed to accept that.
No, that is actually when he's told to make up a reason to tell people, he sends out an email saying that there's a new vision for the project. But in the answers to interrogatories, that's not what they say. And in the motion for summary judgment, that's not what they say. And that's not what Ms. Thomas says when she first tells him he needs to look around for another position. Their explanations have been shifting. And therefore, a reasonable jury.
She told them it was not performance related.
She said not performance.
Right, but she didn't say it was something particular.
No. She said make up a reason. That's what she said. She said make up a reason to tell people. And then answers to interrogatories, they say that it's because the project's dismantled. But that's not true because the project wasn't dismantled for a full year after Dr. Gilletta was removed. And then they give a third reason in their motion for summary judgment that it was because the site visit report was negative. But he had received an award from the from an outside entity. He had received praise from the federal government and been rated excellent after that site visit report came out. So how can it be the site visit report? It's an after the fact explanation.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Stacey Anderson on behalf of the District of Columbia Appellees. The District Court's judgment in this case should be affirmed for two reasons. First of all, Dr. Gilletta has failed to show that he suffered a materially adverse employment action in this case.
What about the supervisory claim?
Your Honor, the district did not dispute that he did go from supervising employees to supervising a minimal number of employees. That is correct. We did not dispute that. But that alone is insufficient to hold that the district was not entitled to summary judgment. There is no per se law that says if you lose supervisory duties, that in and of itself forecloses summary judgment. Instead, this court has looked to the context and all the surrounding circumstances related to the employee's employment. And in this case, Dr. Gilletta not only received a promotion, but he received a substantial raise following his transfer from the DC SINGS program. He was converted.
Did the definition of managerial make him a policymaker? The way I read it, I thought, well, you know, a supervisor is below a manager because a manager is making policy under the definitions of managerial.
Correct, and that's the way I view it as well,
Your
Honor.
That's probably why he got a promotion. I don't know, but.
Exactly. A manager not only makes policy decisions, but they're also responsible for project management and supervision. That's all within the description, and that's cited in footnote 4 of the district's brief on page 9, the two statutory and regulatory definitions of a manager. So when you look at the entire context of the situation, he was given a job which, by virtue of the job description, indicates that it was a much more broader job, one with more responsibilities compared
to his actual work was lesser.
That's not entirely clear from the record, Your Honor. Again, the position he was moved into was a newly established position, and I think it's fair to say that the position description, while maybe at the outset when he was first transitioned to the position it was being developed, may have involved less responsibilities. If you look at that position description, he has a wide range of responsibilities for a very large program. And so, again,
in the transferee job?
Yes, Your Honor, the RTC, the Residential Treatment Coordinators
Where's
Program.
Where's the PD for that?
If you can give me 1 second, Your Honor, I apologize.
As you do that, tell me whether the material lack of material adversity is your only point.
That's not, Your Honor. I can answer that one quite quickly. We also think that they failed to show that the district's explanation was pretextual. But with respect to the position description for the RTC certification program, that's on page 115 to 119 of the joint appendix. And the position description for the DC SINGS program is on pages 33 to 36.
Well, 33 or 36. Oh, wait a minute. Which is which? Transferee, RTC, is that the transferee job?
Yes. That's the position he's currently in, Your Honor.
So I'm looking at 117. Is that the right place?
115. Yes, sir. 117 through 119. And then the other one, again, was on page 33 to 36 of the joint appendix. And again, the second reason, again, that we...
Is there anything in here, by the way, about supervising people?
Yes, in fact, there is, Your Honor. It does indicate that he will be responsible for supervision.
Where is that?
Give me one moment. I know it's in there. I cited it in my brief as well. It might be easier for me to find it there.
Well, it serves as a team leader. Is that what you mean?
No, Your Honor. It was specific reference to supervision. And I'm on page 10 of my brief where I highlight the main duties. Supervising and directing a primary investigator for each investigation assigned.
Where, that's your brief. Where is it?
Yes.
Where
it cites 17 to 19. There's a long list of the joint appendix, but if you give me one second, I'm sure I can find it.
And that was not quoting anything?
It was quoting the position description. I just have several quotes on that page, so I've cited the entire position description.
Right, so your page again is 10?
To page 10 of the district's brief, yes, Your Honor. He's also responsible for serving as a team leader for project teams composed of staff from four divisions. He oversees individual assignments related to complaints, investigations, and RTC certifications.
You're supervising.
He schedules the completion of work based on the employees he's supervising. Exercises managerial leadership with regard to planning, coordinating, and implementing the program.
All right. So he's supervising and directing a primary investigator for each investigation. He's serving as the team leader of ad hoc project teams composed of staff from four divisions.
That sort of thing, yes, Your Honor. So, and again, those are quoted from the position description. So when you compare the two positions, there's no indication whatsoever that he was demoted. And in fact, again, if you look at the fact that he went from a supervisor to a management supervisory services employee, coupled with the raise, I think any reasonable person would not look at that situation and say that was retaliation. It would not dissuade the reasonable employee from either supporting or filing a complaint of discrimination. And the second reason the district believes that the district court should be affirmed is because Dr. Gillette has failed to show that the district's explanation for the change in position was pretextual. Although Dr. Gillette has characterized that as a shifting position, in fact, it's not. It all began with the site visit report in November of 2004. Based on that report, the Department of Health and Human Services recommended several changes to the program, and a refunding application was due March 31st of 2005, along with a report regarding why or how we had the agency had complied with the recommendations from that site visit. It was during that time period that the decision was made to change directions with respect to the program. And Dr. Gillette was told that. And Dr. Gillette's email, I don't believe, was prompted by any comment in February to him to start looking for another job, but it was fact prompted by the decision that the agency made to move him. And that's reflected in his email. He was told, he met with Ms. Thomas, and he was told that the agency was going in a different direction with the program. He was told that the grant application was being rewritten.
Why isn't that all to be viewed in a context where he was also told that he was not being put out to pasture for performance and he should make up a reason?
I think that there can be a positive spin put on that the agency was giving him an opportunity.
Well, it's up to a jury, isn't it?
I don't think that fact that was said establishes pretext, though, in and of itself.
Well, it casts a shadow over any particular explanation that's given, since it's inconsistent with everything.
I don't know that it's inconsistent with everything,
It's
Your
inconsistent
Honor.
With anything you might come up with. If he's first told, we'll make something up.
He was told, instead
the government makes something up.
He was consistently told that the program was going in a different direction. And, in fact, it ultimately, although it was a six-year grant, it ended 2 years early. The district ultimately decided to end the program.
It ended in 2006.
That's correct.
Had it been funded through 2008?
It had been funded, I believe, through, yes, 2008 or 2000.
So you're saying when the government, when the D.C. government terminated the program, that we left money on the table?
I don't think we left money on the table, but the grant had been authorized for 6 years. Again, it was subject to renewal each year, but the district elected not to renew it for the final 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, and again, that to me, again, it ended the entire program.
As of the time these events occurred, that there was nothing but praise for the program.
That's not true. Again, if you look at that site revisit report, Your Honor, there were numerous criticisms with respect to how that program was being run. The primary criticism was the fact that all children eligible for mental health services within the district were being placed in the program when the purpose...
But none of the criticism was directed at him. In fact, he was given high marks by everyone, right?
I think that's probably a fair characterization, but nevertheless, the fact that the district government decided to go in a different direction and found him another position with the agency that resulted in a promotion just does not sound in retaliation when you look at the totality of the facts. If there's no further questions, Your Honors, we'd ask that the district court's judgment be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Ms. Reno, 2 minutes. What about this supervisory point, Ms. Reno? Now it seems the PD... in the new position, entails supervision as well.
That's disputed, Your Honor.
No, it's not. It's in the PD.
It's disputed whether he actually had supervisory.
So if they need to substantiate that the PD really is, it reflects reality, why don't you on your claim?
Because they have the burden of proof on summary judgment to show that there's no dispute of material fact. They've conceded that he had 20 people in D.C. Sings. That's the only evidence there. We're not obligated to dispute anything.
Fair enough. Your burden is, whose burden is it on material adverse action? Theirs on summary judgment?
Well, it's our burden to show that there's a dispute about adverse action. And they're not disputing that he supervised 20 people as head of D.C. Sings. And I realized looking at my client's affidavit, which obviously I wrote with him, we did not specify that he supervised people because I guess we thought it was a given since they sort of said that in their
job,
motion.
The first job, it was had citywide sort of jurisdiction, right? It was heading a
right.
Citywide program.
Across agencies, foster care, health care, different. He's working across agencies, and he's got a team of 20 people that he's supervising doing that. And it's a high-profile position. And if you look at Susan Curran's declaration, she explains that just short of administering programs, working on a system of care is the highest level of achievement for somebody in the mental health field, which is why the D.C. Sings program had just gotten an award in February. And this business about the site visit report being negative, well, if it was negative, why a month later was he rated as excellent? Why did it get an award? Why did Ms. Thomas not say, well, you know, the site visit report was negative when she told him that he was being removed? There's all these reasons for a jury to doubt the explanation that they've given, and with that, summary judgment cannot be granted.
I'm not sure. You were going pretty fast. Did you just make reference to his programmatic responsibility?
Yes.
That wasn't argued to the district court.
Oh, yes, it was. The district court just ignored it. The district court simply looked at the question of supervisory duties. We also, and we thought that was a much stronger point because there are cases that say just removing supervisory duties is enough to get a jury, to support a jury finding of an adverse employment action because that's a material issue. But we did argue the programmatic responsibilities. It's in Susan Curran's declaration that he went from, you know, managing this array, this system of care.
I understand the declaration, but I didn't see anything in your opening brief on programmatic responsibilities or in the JA in what you submitted to the district court.
Well, it's in the JA because it's in Susan Curran's declaration. But
that's not an argument. I'm asking if you argued programmatic responsibilities to the district judge.
Right. Yes, we did.
And
our opposition to summary judgment is not in the appendix, but it is in the record in the district court. We definitely did argue that. That was a major point, that he went from here to here, and it's not just the loss of supervision, it's also the loss of prestige and a very high-profile position.
It would have been useful in this case and might be in future cases if you're arguing a point that the district judge ignored to show that you argued it. We will determine that from the record, but it was not in the JA.
So you would have preferred if we put the opposition to summary judgment in the JA?
When there's a dispute over whether you preserved an argument, sure.
Okay. I thought that was discouraged. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
I mean, it's surely fully part of the record. It's not prejudicial. It just makes it easier for us.
Right. I know. I was a clerk for an appellate judge. I should have remembered. We didn't like to look through the record.
Thank you, Ms. Renaud.
Thank you.
Thank you. Case is submitted.
Stand, please. This honorable court now stands adjourned until tomorrow morning at 9:30.
Well, you're a lawsuit.